meet, we'll meet. There's no way you won't meet who you're supposed to meet, and there's no way you won't meet the person that's the specific contact for you in the divine plan. And then the purpose of meeting that person is to learn each other's innocence. And I used to have a million other purposes for wanting to meet people other than that.
Mm-hmm. That, to meet that person's innocence.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, I'm not sure how to think about that.
Right now, the way to get to the point that you see the person's innocence comes from the complete study of the material and doing the workbook lesson. Like in the process of actually doing the material, it changes your perception, and then you begin to understand that seeing the person's innocence is not about they robbed the bank and I'm gonna see them. I'm gonna call them robbing the bank innocent. It really means, like, no matter what I do, I'm still a human being. I don't care what I do, I'm still a human being, okay? Well, the Course is saying the same thing, but it's just up in the level. Mm-hmm. No matter what you do, what you are, as you were created by God, is innocent, okay? So it's not talking about behavior, which is what usually is the thing that's confusing to people when they first hear that. Well, you're supposed to see a child molester as innocent. What that being is innocent. What they do through their ego is fearful, separate. It's not of love, but that doesn't change them from being what they really are. What really happened there was that you're looking at a mind that has a deep call for love, that's insane in its separation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's what you're looking at with the person that would harm or hurt somebody else, but what they are hasn't changed. And it's not even so much at first about trying. I always tell people, put the situations and the people that are the most difficult at the end of the line. What happens is a lot of times we'd be tempted to think about the most extreme situation first. Like, you mean the people in Darfur that are killing those people, they're innocent. Well, you don't even start there. It's like, if I could re-perceive someone who took my parking space, let me start there. I'm not gonna jump to the person that molested me when I'm 5 years old trying to see them as innocent. And that's exactly where the ego takes us. As soon as we're told to see anybody as innocent or loving, it will take us to the extreme situation. Why do you think our ego does that?
Because it's hard
to
fail.
Right, right. It's hard to set you up to fail. You won't even try. So therefore you keep your ego intact. So I gave up. I don't try to, it's funny, it's like I don't try to forgive people anymore so much as I try to remember who I am. And I find that in remembering who I am, as weird as that may sound, it takes care of everything else. But what most people want to do, just the opposite. It's like, I'm going to try to see if I can see my mother differently. And that's okay. That's a good goal. But I find that the more I realize I'm the Holy Son of God, and the more I realize that I'm innocent, and the more I realize that I'm love, and the more I realize that I'm free, I find that my mind naturally transfers that to other people and kind of releases other people faster. But the main point, I feel like this paragraph is trying to get us to see, is that even though every relationship we form at the beginning seems different, it has the same goal. And what is that goal? To recognize our each is sinless, okay. And then it tells us that, well, is there any accident in terms of the people that we meet?
No.
No, okay. So those we ought to meet, we will meet, right? Okay, so every time we meet somebody, then what's the potential that we have? The potential to do what?
To have a holy relationship.
To have a holy, which is to see each other as sinless. So to me, if we were to walk away with just remembering that, we would have gotten a point of what that paragraph is trying to get us to see. Because it's really about setting the goal right now, more so than feeling like we know exactly how to do it, or that we're able to do it all the time. Because if we were already able to do it all the time, we'd already be enlightened, and we wouldn't have the need to pick up the book. So be gentle with yourself, because in most cases, you're going to find that what he's saying that I'm not able to do that 100% of the time yet. So it's not even about me feeling like I can do it. Any questions or comments about that paragraph?
Comment.
Mm-hmm.
What you said just makes everything so clear, because from my understanding is there's two paths. There's the Holy Spirit Course in Miracles, or there's the ego.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been trying to forgive and change my perception. Mm-hmm. But if I automatically go to higher self, Course in Miracles,
mm-hmm.
it just, I mean, you're there.
It's one of my favorite lessons that I didn't take advantage of when I first got in the workbook was, God is the love in which I forgive. And then he would say, you know, you would think of a person you had a grievance with, and you would say, God is the love in which I forgive that person. And at first it used to sound kind of weird to me, until I realized that, you know, maybe at a personality, ego level, I'm not capable of doing it. But God is the love in which I forgive. I will let the love of God forgive that person. I will let the love of God correctly perceive that person. I let the love of God release that person. And that took a lot of pressure off of me while I was in the process of learning. God is the love in which I forgive myself. God is the love. Or you could say God is the truth in which I forgive myself. God is the truth. So what I did was I let that which is capable of doing that do it for me. Until I learned how to release myself. Because the truth is, the only person I'm really releasing is me when I forgive, to tell the truth about it. Once I kind of got that it was me I was releasing, I got more motivated. You know what I mean? It's like, it's me I'm releasing. I remember, you know, I had a lot of grievances around my father when I first got into the truth. And it was funny. It's like, again, the more I woke up to who I really was, the more I saw that he was just like me. He was a human being at the level, and he made errors, and he made mistakes, and he did the best he could, and he acted from where he was. And then I kept on realizing that I was condemning everybody else for not being perfect, as if I was. As if the way that I expressed myself was always the highest. As if I always kept every agreement I ever made. You know what I'm saying? It's like, all of a sudden I realized I was like making everybody else different for me, as if I didn't have any of the qualities or characteristics of the people I was upset with. I may not have acted it out the way that they acted it out, but it was still the same thing. It was a call for love. It was forgetting the truth. It was not knowing who he really was. And that was behind a lot of his behavior that I didn't understand. Does Earl ever do that? No, the right Earl does that. So every time I can't forgive somebody else or see that I'm the same as someone else, then I'm actually creating more of a grievance for myself. You know, it's like you can't have a grievance really against someone who's just like you, because you realize you both got the same thing. It's either love or call for love or fear. And everybody's acting from one of those two things. So then he's going to get into the three levels of relationships. He says the simplest level of teaching appears to be quite superficial. Okay, it consists of what seem to be very casual encounters, a chance meeting of two apparent strangers in an elevator, a child who is not looking where he's going running into an adult by chance, and two students happening to walk home together. These are not chance encounters. Each of these encounters has the potential for becoming a teaching-learning situation. Perhaps the seeming strangers in the elevator will smile at one another. Perhaps the adult will not scold the child for bumping into him. Perhaps the students will become friends. Even at the level of the most casual encounter, it's possible for two people to lose sight of separate interests, if only for a moment. That moment will be enough. Salvation, which is healing, which is peace, has come. Okay, so the first level is the level where you have a casual encounter with somebody that you lose sight of separate interests, if only for a moment. And if you do that, you've had salvation come. You're getting ready to pull out of a parking lot. The person stops to let you in the traffic. That moment was a moment where salvation came. For that moment, just that moment, you all didn't have separate interests. Y'all were helping each other out. He says that's the first level of relationship. It's casual. Then it says, it's difficult to understand the levels of teaching the universal course as a concept as meaningless as in reality as it is in time. The illusion of one permits the illusion of others, of the other. In time, the teacher of God seems to change his mind about the world with a single decision, and then learns more and more about the new decision as he teaches the decision. We have covered the illusion of time already, but the illusion of levels of teaching seem to be something different. Perhaps the best way to demonstrate that these levels cannot exist is simply to say that any level of teaching, any level of the teaching learning situation is part of God's plan for atonement, and God's plan can have